Okay. The king, Rudolph, all of a sudden woke up and he says, "Oi, did I have a dream? What a dream! It was so real." And he sits up in his bed and he feels he's all wet. "Well, that's strange. Why is my face wet? Why are my pajamas wet on the collar? Have I been crying? Wait a minute. In the dream I went to bed, I was crying. But that was just a dream. So how come I'm wet?" All of a sudden, he looks over at the little table next to his bed. Now, next to his bed was a little table, and all of a sudden he sees two plates. "Wait a minute. Two plates. I saw two plates in my dream, and all of a sudden now I see two plates. What are these plates doing here? This is very strange." Now, all of a sudden, the trumpet blew. Now, there's a certain trumpet that blows if somebody has come to the king's room. A little trumpet. And the king says, "Who's there? Who's coming to my room?" Well, the servant enters and he says, "King, the royal barber and the royal tailor have come because they said that you, that they sh- they said that you have called them to come early in the morning, time that you wake up, and you have called them, and now they're coming because the royal barber has come to cut your nails and your hair, and the royal tailor has come to make you some clothes, and they said these are orders from the king." "Oh no," the king says, "that happened my dream too. What's going on over here?" And the king says, "This is a dream that has to be figured out and explained. Who could do it? Who is a person who knows about dreams? Who in his kingdom is one that would be able to figure out dreams?" He thinks to himself, his officers, forget it. They can't even figure out what's real. To figure out a dream is harder. To figure out what's happening in front of their eyes, they can't figure out sometimes. To figure out a dream, forget about it. All of a sudden, he has in his mind the moral. That Jewish rabbi that he always hears these wondrous stories and these miracle stories and these special holy things about this man, a holy man, that he never met the moral. He never saw the moral. But he kept hearing stories of the moral, did very smart things, and he said things that came true later, and he helped people, and he was able to figure out things that even the biggest smart officers and advisors could not figure out. And he had a contest against 300 galachim, and he answered every question so beautifully. He says, this rabbi, being such a holy man, he must be the only one that will be able to figure out my dream. I must have it explained. And he says to the servant, you run immediately to the house of the horses and wagons, and you get my special horses and wagon ready to go to pick up somebody very important. And call the driver. I want to give him the job to do it. I'll tell him where to go. It's not your business, but it's the driver's business. They call the driver. And he says, you find the house of the Maharal, the Jewish rabbi in Prague that I heard all about, and you tell him that I would like to see him. And take the special beautiful wagon, my special wagon. And the driver comes in front of the king. Yes, king, yes, king. And the king says, go to the, what do you call it? No, go to the building of the wagons. And take my most beautiful white horses and connect them to my personal, beautiful, special wagon, the wagon of the king. And you will go into the city of Prague, to the Jewish neighborhood, and you will pick up the rabbi of the Jews. His name is the Maharal. You'll find out where he lives, and you'll tell him that the king wants to see him. It's very important. He must come immediately, and do it right away. And the driver says, yes, king, yes, king. And he goes away from the king, and he runs through the hall. And the servants have woken up by that time, and they see the driver running through the hall. Oh, look! The driver of the king just came out from the king's room, and he's running through the hall. And they think to themselves, let's see, what happened last night? Why should the driver so early in the morning be coming out of the king's room and running through the hall? Oh, yes! Last night, the king was sleeping on the terrible decree, right? Last night, the king was sleeping on the decree that the queen had given him, right? That he should drive out the Maharal and all the Jews from Prague. And of course, the officers and the special generals that hated Jews were the ones that gave the queen the decree to give to the king, that she should make sure that he signs it, right? So those officers and those generals that hate Jews, they gather together, they say, you know why the driver's running? Probably to call the Maharal, that the king wants him out with all the Jews because he signed the decree. He woke up in the morning early and he signed the decree. Then they said, yeah, isn't it kind of early for the king to wake up? Usually he wakes up later. Well, he woke up early. He wanted to sign the decree. And as the driver is running, past them, they say, hey, where are you going? I have to do for the king. I have to go right away. Yeah, but who are you going to drive? He says somebody, the Maharal, a rabbi. Oh, the Jew hater said, see, he's going to call the Maharal. Hey, he's calling the Maharal to the palace to tell him to get rid of all the Jews, and he has to leave. Oh, very good. And he's running. He's going fast. The king signed the decree. The Maharal will come, and all the Jews will get out. Ah, it's very good. And the driver goes running to the house of the royal wagons. And the officers and the generals who hated Jews said, let's watch the black wagon go out of the place of the wagons. Let's watch it go. We'll come see the Maharal come in the black wagon. The king is angry on the Maharal. He's going to call him to throw him out of Prague with all the Jews. He's going to send on the black wagon. And they look over there at the special building where the royal wagons are and the royal horses are. And all of a sudden, a few minutes later, they see the beautiful white horses of the king and the beautiful wagon of the king. And the driver is driving the beautiful wagon of the king, this king's special wagon. Wait a minute. A little fishy over here. He must have made a mistake. He's so mixed up and in a hurry. Instead of the black wagon, he's getting the king's special wagon. What's going on over here? Man, this is strange. Ah, probably the black wagon is broken. And it's getting fixed. And the king is such in a hurry to throw the Maharal out, he says, take the first wagon you get, and take my horses because they're faster, and then he'll go to the Maharal. Well, maybe that's what's happening. Otherwise, why isn't there the black wagon going? Well, who knows? And the officers were so happy that the Maharal and the Jews were getting thrown out. They say, you know what? Let's do something special for ourselves to celebrate. Yeah, let's make a party. Okay, let's go. Let's go get ready a party. And when the Maharal comes and the king tells him to leave with all the Jews, then we'll have a nice party. Let's prepare for our party. And they go into the room where the officers and the generals, you know, they spend their time if they have a little bit extra time here and there in case, you know, and they drink their coffee over there and they have their snacks over there and their nosh. And they start planning a big party and they get party hats and they get decorations and they get food and they start planning how they're going to have a nice party after the king tells the Maharal and the Jews to leave. Well, in the meantime, Kenalach, the beautiful wagon of the king and his beautiful horses, they go into the Jewish neighborhood. And of course, everybody's looking out the window. Look, the king is sending a special wagon for somebody in the Jewish neighborhood. Who could it be? And the beautiful wagon with the beautiful horses of the king go to the house of the Maharal. And the officers go in and very politely, I mean, you know, the driver was driving it, but he has officers over there. And they say, well, the king invites the Maharal immediately to the palace. It's extremely important. And the Maharal at first was afraid maybe there's some kind of trouble. And all of a sudden he looks out the window and he sees the beautiful wagon of the king. Now, of course, he didn't know what was happening in the palace. Did he know about the decree against the Jews? No. But as we know in those days, unfortunately, there were a lot of troubles for the Jews, And sometimes the trouble even came from the king, because people made up lies and the blood libels. That's why he made the goyim in the first place. But when he looked out and he saw the beautiful wagon of the king, and not the black wagon of the king, and the officers were very polite, and they were not coming, chas v'shalom, to get him in trouble, the Maharal knows that this is not a trouble thing. This is a good thing, hopefully. And the Maharal goes in the wagon. And the Maharal now goes through the streets in the king's special wagon that the king himself goes in, and everybody came out to see what special thing is happening. Look, the Maharal's in the king's wagon. Something is happening. Something special. And then he comes to the palace. And of course, all those officers and all of those generals didn't look out the window now exactly at the king's wagon. They're busy planning their party. And all of a sudden, the trumpets blow. They let the wagon through the gates. And now the Maharal is coming now through the palace to the king's room, where the king sits on his throne. And some of the officers stuck their heads out of the door, and they saw the Maharal going, look, 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 the Maharal's going to the king. Oh boy, the king is going to give him the royal decree to leave with all the Jews. So we're having such a good party. Oh yeah, let's go. Let's put on our party hats already. The Maharal's already here to get his decree. The Maharal is already here to get the bad news for the Jews, so let's put on our party hats. Let's start a party already. Yeah, let's do it, because the Maharal will leave in a few minutes. And of course, hey, oh, he's in trouble. And now, all of a sudden, now, Kinalach, the special trumpets blow outside of the king's room. That means somebody is outside of the king's room, and the king wants to see him, and it's important. And they open the doors. Now remember, the king has never seen the Maharal before. And the king is sitting on his throne. I don't know if he had his pajamas on still or if he had time to change into his special clothes. Probably a king doesn't sit on his throne in his pajamas, so he probably got dressed already. But he's very, very impatient. He wants to see the Maharal right away to find out about his dream. All of a sudden, the Maharal comes through the door. And he's standing on the end of the red carpet that leads up to the king's throne. And the king starts jumping up and down on his throne. Hey, look, look. Look, that's the man I saw in my dream. The old Jew who let me out of the jail. That's him. This is him. Excuse me, who are you? I saw you in my dream last night. I'm the Maharal. You called for me. I mean, you're the Maharal, and you're also the one in my dream. Oh, look, you're in my dream. And the Maharal comes in front of the king. And he says, wait a minute, I recognize you, that you were in my dream. But in your dream, when you were in my dream, you didn't recognize me. How come you didn't know who I was? I know who you are, but why didn't you recognize me? You said you couldn't recognize me. And the Maharal smiled to the king. He says, I'm sorry, but the way you look now is beautiful. You're the king. You look very nice. You have a nice haircut. You have beautiful clothes on. Okay, that answers it. No pajamas, it was clothes. In the dream, when you were in jail, you had not taken a bath for 7 years. You had not gotten a haircut for 7 years. You had not cut your nails for 7 years. You had not changed your clothes for 7 years. You didn't exactly look the same or, you know, smell the same. You didn't exactly be like a beautiful king like you are now on your throne, but you were in the jail for those 7 years. How could I recognize you? And your face, you know, it didn't look too happy. In fact, it didn't look too friendly. You looked very mean. Pardon my expression in front of the king, but now you have a beautiful, kind face. And then in the dream, you had a very mean face. And the king says, can you tell me more about my dream? Why don't I have such a dream? A very strange dream. And you were in the dream. Can you tell me? Can you explain me the dream? And the Maharal said to the king, it must be that last night when you went to bed, you were having very bad thoughts. Let's see. What was I thinking? Very bad thoughts. I'm not really sure. I mean, sometimes I have good thoughts when I go to bed, and sometimes I'm upset about something. And the Maharal says, did you put something under your pillow last night before you went to bed and you were sleeping on that? Maybe that was giving you bad thoughts. And the king said, wait a minute. Before I went to sleep, the queen, she asked me to sign a certain law, and I didn't want to do it. And she said, you should do it. And I said, I didn't want to do it. And she said, but you have to do it. And I said, I don't want to do it. But she said, if you don't do it, well, it was a whole thing. I mean, you don't have to hear about exactly what happened, but there was a whole thing. The queen wants me to sign this decree. And she said, maybe you should sleep on it. And I said, maybe I should sleep on it, and I'll sign it in the morning. She says, yes, sign it in the morning. Put it under your pillow. And that was under my pillow. And the Maharal says, and the Maharal said, what was the decree? Was it a good decree? Sometimes a decree, a law, is very good. The king says, well, as a matter of fact, it was very bad. That's why I didn't want to sign it. And the Maharal says, can you bring the decree here? Well, I don't know if you really want to see it. It's up to you, king. And the king says, yes, well, let me just tell you what it is first. The decree is to throw you and all the Jews out of Prague. And that is a terrible decree. That's why I had the bad dream. Oh, I'm not going to sign it now. That's terrible. All of a sudden, the king says to his servant, call the queen, she should come in, and tell her under my pillow is that decree, she should bring it in here. I shall wake up the queen? Yes, I order you to wake up the queen. And the servant goes in, and he starts blowing his trumpet. Beep, 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 beep. There's a wake-up trumpet. If the queen, you know, sleeps too late, beep, 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 beep. And the queen starts waking up. Why are you waking me up? It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. The king wants you to come. And he says, bring the decree. Well, the queen gets in her royal robes, probably takes her about an hour or so, and she brings now the decree. She says, oh, good. Okay, it's worthwhile. They woke me up and blew the trumpets. The king wants to sign that decree. He must have forgotten it under his pillow. Maybe he went for a walk in the garden this morning. Okay, I'm bringing the decree. And she comes in now to the king's room, and she sees the Maharal there. Oh, that's good. The rabbi's already here. The king will sign the decree. Yeah. And he'll be thrown out with all the Jews. Okay, fine. I don't mind being woken up at 10 o'clock with trumpets for this good thing. And she's carrying the decree to the king. And the king says to the queen, please hand me the decree. Okay, king. Should I hand you a pen, too, so you could sign it? Not so fast. I would like to know, queen, my queen, who are the ones that are responsible for this decree? Is it just you? Oh, no, king. There's officers and generals, and they're the ones that asked me to give it to you, and they're the ones that planned it, and they're the ones that wrote it. I'm only the one that, you know, gave it to you. Isn't that good? The king says, well, you know what? Why don't you bring them here, all the ones that are responsible for the decree, and let's all do it together. Oh, good, fine, okay. And all of a sudden the queen asks one of the servants, where's those generals and officers that gave me the decree the other day and you were there? And the servant says, well, they're in a certain room in the palace, you know, their coffee room, their snacky and nashi room. The king says, what are they doing there? They're officers and generals. Why aren't they busy? Well, I think they're busy, but I'm not exactly sure with what. Well, go call them and tell them to come immediately. And the servant runs out of the king's room, and he runs down the hall, and he finds all these officers, and they're busy decorating for the party and setting up tables and nash. And they're busy, they're busy making costumes. They have their party hats on, and they have balloons all over the place. They have nash, and they're busy, you know, nibbling at the stuff before they really have their party. And they, you know, they're all happy, and some of them have made a few, they don't call it l'chaim, they say a toast. not toast from a toaster, but they drink a little bit of mashke or schnapps, and they make a toast, and they clink their glasses, and they say, see, our plan is working perfectly. And all of a sudden, the servant comes in. Officers, generals, the king says to come immediately to his room. The king wants to see you, and he says immediately. And the officers and generals, they're so happy. Oh, the king wants to see us. He probably wants to reward us. He probably wants us to be there when he signs it because he's so proud of us to make such a decree. Okay, let's go. The king said immediately, okay, let's leave on our party hats and we'll leave on our costumes. And they run out of the room. They come into the king's room. And the queen is there, and they see the Maharal there, and they come now in their party hats in front of the king, because the king said immediately. Usually you don't go in front of the king, except in your uniform, but they're following an order that the king says, come immediately. Not even time to take off a party hat if you have to come immediately. Do you remember Haman's party hat? Okay, what happened was, by Haman, and it's very similar here, he was in a parade with Mordechai. He was leading the horse. Mordechai was on the horse. They came in front of his 10-story house. And his daughter, who was on the 10th floor, was looking down. And she thought that her father, Haman, was riding the horse. And she thought Mordechai was leading the horse. Because she thought the parade was in honor of her father. And the schlepper of the horse was Mordechai. As we know, it wasn't that way. Things had changed around completely. Ahasuerus wanted to reward Mordechai, and he was upset at Haman. Haman was leading the horse, and Mordechai was riding the horse. Well, she got her people mixed up, and she took a yucky, terrible garbage can. The Medrash says, well, it was a little bit different than that, but that's all we're going to say. It was the most yucky, horrible thing you can imagine. And she thought she'd be very smart and make her father happy at the joke. And she aimed it at the schlepper of the horse. And she hit bullseye. It went right on his head. Oh, look! I poured all this yucky garbage on Mordechai. And all of a sudden, when the schlepper took all the garbage off of his face and he was able to clean it enough to look up to see who did it then, she saw, that was Tati. She says, that was Daddy. Haman, that wasn't Mordechai. What was he doing schlepping the horse? Now, as soon as Haman got in his house, covered with all that yucky, smelly stuff, immediately, the guards came from the king to call him to the second party of Esther. As you know, he was invited to the second party of Esther. Now, when they came, they had orders to bring him immediately. Did he have a chance to wash off all the yucky garbage, or he had to go to the party covered with yucky garbage? Because he was called immediately, he was not able to even wash his face or his body, or even scrape off the stuff that was sticking to him. He went to the second party covered with garbage. Now, the same thing over here, really, is the officers are coming running with their party hats and their costumes, and some of them are carrying cake and lollies because they're still, you know, eating them. And they thought, well, the king is, you know, going to be so proud of them, so why not? And they're all standing there in front of the king. And now, they're expecting the king to take the royal pen to sign it. And the king starts to scream, you see this decree over here? I'm not going to sign it. I'm going to tear it up. And he tears it up. Huh? He tore it up? So why did he call the Maharal if he's going to tear up the thing? Well, what happened over here? And the queen says, King, you're supposed to sign it. Why are you tearing it up? Aren't you getting ready to throw the Maharal and the Jews out of Prague? He says, are you kidding? The Maharal is a hero. The Maharal told me my dream. The Maharal is a holy man. The Maharal is a special man. He's a great wise man. I love the Maharal. I wouldn't do anything against the Maharal or any of the Jews. They're good people. But as long as you say I should throw somebody out of here, I'm going to throw somebody out of here. Well, the queen he couldn't exactly throw out. There were too many complications. But he looks at all the officers, and he looks at all the generals who had the party hats and the lollies and the popcorn and the candies still in their hands, and he says, all of you are fired. Leave my palace and never come back. I want every one of you out of here. I'm getting new officers and new generals. And, of course, the officers had an order from the king, and they went back, and they felt so sick they couldn't even eat any of the nashalalis. Then they went to the room of the uniforms, and they gave them back, and they got regular clothes. Then they left the palace. They had no job. And, of course, they ended up finding jobs in Prague in the gas stations. And that's the end of the beautiful story. All right, a brand new story. This story is very important for our time. But I am not going to explain everything, what the story is all about, what it teaches us. I want you to figure it out for yourself and think about it. Certain things I say exactly and explain, even every little tiny detail. But certain things I want to leave up to you to figure out, and that's a part of the whole thing. One time, there was a very interesting custom in a family that the leader of the family wore a golden ring, a special golden ring, and whoever wore this golden ring, that means he's the leader of the whole family, of all the uncles and all of the aunts and all of the cousins and all the nieces and nephews. Now, where did this man get the golden ring? From his father. The father, before he passed away, made that son to be the leader of the family because that son was worthy. He was good enough, the best one, to be the leader of the family. And where did that Tati get the ring? From his father, and back many generations. This is how the ring was passed from father to son, and whoever wore the ring was the leader of all of the family. Now, besides being a very special, beautiful golden ring, there were two things special about the golden ring that everybody in the family always said and believed. One thing was, whoever wears this golden ring, Hashem loves him. He wears the golden ring, and Hashem loves him. He's special to Hashem. And the other thing about the golden ring, whoever wears the golden ring, people love him. Everyone loves him. He is such a special person to all people. Not just because he has a beautiful golden ring, but there was a koyach, a power. I'm not saying a magic power. There was a certain power to the golden ring that everyone would love this person, and Hashem would love this person. The story does not say if these people are Yidden, if they're Jews or not Jews, and it does not matter. It could be, in fact, that the whole story is about a non-Jewish family. What matters is what we're listening to and learning out, because we're hearing this at the lunchtime in yeshiva, so there is a Torah message and lesson from this story. Nakinalach, this particular Tati, the leader of the family that was wearing the ring, got very old. And he knows he's not going to live forever, and it'll come his time to pass away. And he wants to make sure there will be a new leader to the family when he will be gone from this world. And he has three sons. And he thinks about the first son. Would he be a good leader for the family? And the answer was yes, definitely. His oldest son was a wonderful boy. And of course, now he was a man. He had grown up to be a wonderful man. He could be for sure the leader of the family. And everyone would love him and respect him as the leader. And then he starts thinking about the second son. Now, the second son was a different kind of a boy than the first son, a different kind of a man. Because every person, you know, is different. The same way your face is different than somebody else's, you are different than somebody else. And he says the second son would also be a wonderful leader and a special leader and fair to everyone and would take care and be very interested to help everybody in the family.